the way we think about it, you know, right? If you walk into a closet and it's pitch black, you just have a little baby flashlight, right? You turn that thing on, you can't really see, right? You don't know how big the room is. Mm-hmm. Or you could be in this gym with the lights out, right? I want to give you a bigger flashlight so you can see the whole room.
I feel like we did a whole interview already. All right. Third time's the charm.
Yeah.
Foul Wenzel, Uncharted Performance. Hanging out at Track Athletics with Dave Regula. Dave, how are you, man?
We got this. We're doing well. Thank you for coming.
This is the furthest we've gotten to the interview without anything going wrong so far. This is going pretty well, actually.
It's amazing. It's been great.
Yeah, I'm going to skip the colors, but I do like them.
Yes, thanks. I like them too. All right, next.
Yeah, next. Make sure to check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. If you're enjoying this interview, do leave us a 5-star review. And a 5-star rating and a review. If you want to support the show and you're looking for some cool gear, we are affiliated with Rogue Fitness. So if you're on our website, I think it's going to be to your right. There's a nice little Rogue link. Follow that link. Or below us, there's probably some products we dig that you might also like. So check them out as well. All right. You ready to make it happen?
Let's roll, man.
That's enough about Uncharted.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Let's go.
It's enough about Uncharted. You are the co-founder of Track.
I am.
With your along with your wife, Lauren. Yes. Bay Regula, who we'll have on next week.
Yes.
Personal performance coach?
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
What does that mean?
I think about it in performance, performance in terms of not just fitness,
okay,
which is kind of what Track is about. Mm-hmm. For us, fitness is physical, emotional, mental. So it's just the big picture. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's not just how many burpees we can do in a minute or whatever's going to end up on your Facebook page most of the time.
Yeah.
But we try and keep big picture always. So okay. That's what that means.
And just that might be a little foreshadowing as we get deeper into the interview here. You are obviously a husband, as I mentioned, also a father of three.
Yep.
How old are they? How old are the kids?
On the boys, spot
girls?
Already.
Yeah. Your wife is watching.
Yeah. Girl 7 and then a couple boys, 6 and 4.
Okay.
So handful right now in a good way.
Okay.
Usually.
Moment maker. That's also on your bio. Doing some spying on social media.
Yeah.
What does moment maker mean?
Moment maker is somebody that takes advantage of their opportunities to do something special.
Okay. You just like this interview.
Yeah, exactly. This is moment making for sure. Yeah, it's that Sunday when you're sitting around, mm-hmm. right? It's easy to sit on the couch. It's nice outside. You need to take advantage.
Right. Perfect.
And that reminds myself to do that. You know, when I've got that out there.
Awesome. You also have a great head of hair.
Thank you, man. I usually don't hear that. It's a good thing I went with the part. I was going to go with the Caesar.
I have a kind of a shitty version of the Caesar, but yeah. You have a much better hair than I do.
You have a better chin of hair.
Oh, thank you. What? Back at me, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
What made you bring the part back?
You know why? Because everyone's bringing the beard back.
Okay.
I can't roll beard. This right here.
But you
is
do
like
have a great chin.
Nah.
So you don't need the beard.
Nah, hairless.
Perfect. Yeah. What product do you use?
Typically, I go no product. I have like daily though. If I a big date with Lauren or whatever, and I need to pull out all the stops. Uh-huh. Maybe just some gel. You know, I think mousse is very 80s, 90s.
Uh-huh.
So I go gel. All
right, cool.
Yeah.
You're 40.
Yes, it's all right. True.
You look a lot younger than 40.
Thank you.
I'm not trying to give you any compliments, just being honest.
Yeah.
You act like you're 16.
Even better.
Even better.
Yeah.
But you dunked.
I did.
Recently.
Yeah.
I haven't dunked. I don't know if it was the last time I touched the rim, but probably since high school. Why are you trying to dunk at 40? And how did that feel?
Why am I doing it? It's been something for me basketball was a huge part of my youth. Uh-huh. And I went to a middle school where there were kids dunking in seventh grade. And I think that was always something that has been on my radar, because it was something that people looked at me. I was a skinny little kid. Uh-huh. And basically thought I would not be able to do, ever be able to do.
Was this the first time you dunked? Or
no, I actually dunked in a game in high school, which was like amazing, right? Because yeah. I mean, I'm not a big guy, basketball terms.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of, for me, just athleticism-wise, like a lot of people get caught measuring, and I've done it too, get caught measuring your bench press or your back squat or, you know, some of these things. But for me, just, and it should be personal to everybody, but just athleticism-wise, for me, being able to move and propel myself off the ground, not just stay static in one place and lift a weight. That's how I look at athleticism a little bit.
Okay.
And so for me, that's like the measuring stick. And that's so awesome. I always wanted to do it when I was 40, like to see if I could do it, you know?
Have you dunked since? Have you tried going back up?
No. And that was the first time I had tried in a long time.
Okay.
And it didn't feel that good. It felt, because it was weak. Like, I saw the dunk on tape and I'm like, man, like, I'm going to have to come back out. I don't know if I want to put that out.
No, it's awesome, because you're, and again, we're going to get into a lot more of this, but it's basically applying what you're teaching and also applying here at track to outside of the gym.
Yeah. I never actually thought of that while I was doing it, but you're right. Now that I think about it.
And applying athleticism to life. And that will be the general thing that we talk about.
Yes.
So take us back. Yeah. Speaking of middle school, not that far back.
Oh, good.
But you do have an athletic background, right?
I do. Just, I think what most people did back in the day, I played every sport.
Okay.
I swam, tennis, golf, basketball, you know, a little bit of everything, soccer, football, everything. You know, when you were a kid, you do those, I had two brothers, right? We had three boys. So it was, you know, throwing the tennis ball up on the roof. Mm-hmm. And whoever can grab it for points, you know, play to 100, those kind of games. Uh-huh. Just making stuff up, which is the stuff that I can only hope my kids do. You know, they'll get a little push to do that.
Yeah.
Little push. Yeah. Maybe from mom too. But we did everything. Like, that was what we did. It's different now, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, I think that was a huge help. Like, I had opportunity to play two sports in college. And
what did you play in
college? One of the only regrets is that I didn't take it. I played football. I had an opportunity to play basketball, and it didn't come to fruition. But it kind of was a result of football going better than I thought it would.
So you had a through college, you were fairly active, right? You had a pretty active lifestyle in terms of sports and athletics.
Yeah, for sure.
So what did you end up doing after college? What did you get into?
Oh, boy. So I moved to Chicago right out of college. Mm-hmm. Athletically, training still, I couldn't give up. I'm still at heart, strength and conditioning guy, you know, kind of football style, be strong, you know, jump high, move fast. I kept training like that, but I got in, you know, there's really competitive basketball leagues and football leagues, flag football leagues in Chicago.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
That we got into with a lot of ex-college athletes. Uh-huh. I went from there. I got into a little bit of triathlon, which is like, was kind of a dark period for me.
Why?
I'm naturally a really thin guy, and when everywhere you go, people ask if you're sick. it wasn't a good look for me.
Okay.
And just that, for me personally, like, I understand that people love it, but for me, the time training was just insane.
What'd you learn from that experience?
I learned that I didn't love it. I learned that kind of pain, I learned about pain tolerance to some extent, right? I got into, we did a race, one of those 200 mile overnight races, the Hood to Coast in Oregon. My company, I worked with all college athletes, which was an amazing experience in Chicago, but we ran 200 miles overnight. You get in a van and do this whole thing. Ended up running, you know, whatever, 18, 20 miles, hilly trail runs. And I just remember how sore I was. You know what I mean? Like, that endurance thing for me just wasn't the thing. But it, like, when I went from there kind of into CrossFit in the early days in 07, 08, early 08, like before the first CrossFit games.
Okay.
And so I think that endurance background played a huge part in the success I had out of the gate. Because CrossFit was totally different back then. Yeah. You know, like the standard weights and some of these things.
It was a lot less than
insane. Yeah. And the workouts were, they played a lot of longer stuff. And, today,
and you made regionals, right? Which I forgot to mention a few times, right?
I think I went 3 times.
Okay.
And I did okay. And then I think the third or fourth one, it's so long ago. Maybe 09 and 10, 11 in there.
Okay.
I was doing pretty well in Chicago and got hurt. My nemesis, I've never been a strong deadlifter. And it was like the first really heavy regional deadlift workout that came out. And I got smoked.
Okay.
You know, and so that was kind of, and that's kind of actually, I'm sure we'll get into it, but that played into my kind of, my views on kind of competitive exercise and some of the things that go with it.
Yeah. So hold that thought, because I want to piggyback.
You gotta cut me off, man. When I get going like this, let's go.
So you mentioned your work. So you obviously you didn't move to Chicago to pursue any sort of athletic career, right?
No, you
went there for different reasons.
Yes, to work for sure. It was crazy. So I went to Dartmouth, which is in, most people don't know, it's in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And all the guys,
so kind of like Cleveland Akron area. There's the weather.
Yeah, it's like there's a forest in the valley here that's like New Hampshire. That's about it. It's middle of nowhere. But everybody that I was really close with in college, all the athletes went to Wall Street and worked. And I've always, for whatever reason, kind of everyone goes that way. I kind of go the other way. Mm-hmm. So I went to Chicago. I didn't know anybody. Uh-huh. Similar work experience a little bit. I went to the Mercantile Exchange and traded on the floor. Mm-hmm. But I went there. I didn't know anybody at all. So it was kind of a unique
experience. What was the challenge, right?
Yeah. Yes. I didn't know anything about like trading options. I traded options.
What did you study in college?
Was government.
Okay.
Right. I was
all right. So
yeah, I specialized in foreign relations and kind of dug into nuclear policy, which is a very roundabout.
So the Mercantile Exchange makes total sense.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. So
You didn't know anybody. You didn't know much about, I'm assuming you didn't know much about what you were doing.
No, I didn't know it was a thing until I got there. I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know anything. They came and recruited.
Did you have,
up at Dartmouth.
Okay. And I was going to ask, did you have any connections in Chicago that helped you there? But
well, the guy that hired me, I lived in his basement for the first month that I lived in Chicago. I borrowed one of his bikes to ride to work on a bike. So
why put, I guess, blind faith in the unknown?
I guess I never looked at it like that. I guess if you look at if you look at what you're doing, it was never blind faith. I just always knew that it was going to work. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like you're nervous, but it's a waste of time sometimes. Okay. It's like doing this. Like we quit that and came here. When we moved here, we didn't have a house to live in. We didn't have a space to rent for the gym. Mm-hmm. We had nothing. And we left. We came. So I think if you get caught worrying sometimes and you stop to think, you know, it's like Laura and I talked about this. It's like the millipede, right? He's walking through the jungle and the ant walks up and says, "How the hell you walk with all those legs, man?" Millipede stopped and he thought about it and then he never walked again. You know what I mean? So as soon as I stop and think, maybe then I'll break down, but we just roll.
All right. So you're more about taking action.
Yeah.
Then figuring it out.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. Go for it.
All right. So in my ignorant eyes, or for my, I guess, limited knowledge of the Mercantile Exchange, it sounds like a pretty luxurious job opportunity career.
I mean, it depends what you define as luxurious. Like the day to day is, you know, this.
The way they show, the way they, it's you know, shown or depicted on, you know, CNN or Moneyline, right?
Yeah,
or movies.
I think a lot of times people see New York. Mm-hmm. And New York is a little bit, New York's the country club. Chicago is the locker room.
Okay.
I stood in a space, maybe, you know, this space, and, you know, you and I, you're probably uncomfortable right now.
No, I'm super. I told you I wanted to hug you earlier.
I stood this close to the same guys, a guy here behind me for 15 years, like the same guys for the most part. So, and you're pushing constant. That's what one of the things I love, like for being around, you know, athletes in the locker. It's constant pushing and grabbing and lot of anger and a lot of aggression and yelling and screaming. But
so why'd you give it up? Why'd you give it up, man? If that was what you were,
you told me, man. I'm 40. I got old.
No, you didn't get old. You're still young.
No,
it's something that you wanted to do, right? And you were enjoying it, from what I'm.
But the greatest at that moment in my life, for a long period of time, it was the greatest thing in the world. I couldn't have found a better fit for myself at the time. The really cool thing is you spend finite hours in that environment. And then you go home. I got off the floor at 3. I got home at 4 o'clock every day. I never worked a weekend. With disposable income and time, that was for me. I could learn about coaching. I could learn about gyms. I had so much time to learn. And that's what, honestly, I found CrossFit. I walked into the first CrossFit in Chicago that was, 1,500 square foot in like an old Claire's boutique. Which is not a good look. Sorry, Justin. The guy that owned it became—he's one of one of my best friends, and continues to be a partner and stuff that we're trying to do, big picture stuff. But like, if I didn't have that free time, it put me in a position for that to work.
Okay.
And so that started the dominoes, maybe back in 07, 08, like I said, into coaching, and then it went crazy from there. And then giving it up. I mean, all of a sudden, you really find, and I did that for such a long time.
You said 15 years, right?
Yeah. I think it was funny. Charles Barkley actually had a comment. He said that he changed careers after 17 years. And he said, it seems like the right amount of time. I think everybody should change
after 15, yeah, 20 years.
Because, I grew up, I changed. I had kids. Uh-huh. That environment, when you have 3 kids, your risk tolerance changes a little bit. You know what I mean? It goes from going to Vegas on the weekend to going home and rolling around on the basement floor with kids. It's just different.
When did you get married?
I don't know, man. February 3rd, 2007.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Lauren's right over here. So,
how far along were you along in your career on the Mercantile Exchange?
Almost 10 years.
All right.
Yeah.
So you have a steady job. You got married. You're starting to have kids.
Yeah.
But then you kind of hang it up to pursue something else.
Yeah. It was crazy. It happened really, really fast.
How do you prepare?
You know what? Yeah. That's a good question.
To do that. Because you
it's hard because on the trading floor, right? It's one of the things that got me going with this. You see a lot of people on paper, they should be the happiest people. They've got all the money they could ever want. They barely work at all. They've got time to be healthy. They have time to travel and pursue and learn and do like these amazing things, but they're miserable. When you're standing around that every day, it makes you realize that there's number one, there's more out there. Mm-hmm. But number two, you don't want to be that guy. Like, I realized that I wasn't happy, like deep down, and it takes a lot of thought. You have to put time into this. You can't just say, wake up one day and like, okay, I'm out, I'm moving, selling my house. And so over time it became, this isn't right. And then it became, all right, basically enough talk, enough thinking about it. Like, I'm going to make a play, because part of it, like I said, it's just like college. And after that, like, everybody's stuck and did that. I'm out, I'm doing my thing. It was tough.
How did you prepare? So if somebody's imagine there's somebody in your similar situation that's listening or watching. How did you prepare for your play?
Honestly, that's a great question. And I'm sure Lauren could help me because she probably she remembers watching. But for me, track started before I left. Like, I had individual remote clients and started really, really digging in. Preparing to be at, getting the certifications out at OPEX and Scottsdale.
While you were working.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking some weekends. Mm-hmm. But that was maybe like a few months before we left. Obviously, you need to put yourself in a financial position in case something
happens. Or doesn't work out.
Yeah. Which happened to us, basically. It's the action step, though, at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. You either make the move or you don't. The hardest part, I'll still remember it, the guy who put me up in his basement for the first month I was in Chicago, I had to tell him, let's go grab a coffee and tell him I was leaving the company. I was like the sixth person in, like I spent Thanksgiving at this guy's house. And I love him. It was just, it was hard, yeah. right? To say I'm leaving, you know, cause we were like a family. And so, that was it. Like sticking to your guns and just making a play. And there's varying, like everybody, oh, you should have a backup plan. Mm. You should have no backup plan. You know, like everyone has an opinion. For me, it was, we're out, you know, like when the dealer changes at the table.
Okay.
I'm good. And then on to the next thing.
So what was the next thing after that?
The next thing was finding a house. So I think we gave ourselves maybe 6-8 weeks in Chicago. We put our house up for sale. Mm-hmm. You know, and we had a lease ready to go here mm-hmm. to sign for the gym. We're like, this will line up perfectly. The lease fell through on the gym space. And then 24 hours later, we get a call at our house sold at list price. We're like, literally like what? Like yeah. we were out at dinner with my brother. I'll never forget that feeling of like basically, oh shit, we're doing this. Like that got real fast. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't like, and people do this, and maybe it's smarter. Anybody can make their judgment, but yeah, it would be easier to have a job lined up. It would be easier to have, you know, have it be easy. But for us, if we're going to go all in and create what we wanted to create, I can't put time into another job. You know what I mean? It's not fair to the community here. It's not fair to what we're trying to do. Especially, it's not fair to my family.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If we have this big, grand vision of what we want to create and the people we want to help, you know, I can't go work somewhere else and pretend to like, not fair to that job either, yeah. pretend I'm engaged. That's what it felt like in Chicago a little bit. If I'm not, everyone told me I should have stayed around longer while we got ready here, but that's not fair to the people I loved at my job. You know, if I'm not going to be there present.
Yeah, I mean, your mind's somewhere else.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. 100%. Like, so, be where you're going to be. Don't half-ass it. You know what I mean?
So, speaking of family, and Lauren's here as well. So, before we take a break, to put you on the spot.
Bring it. Let's go.
Bring it. Describe your relationship with Lauren. Because I don't think this works. This happens if both of you are on board to make it happen.
No chance. No chance. It took some convincing out of the
game. On whose part?
No. On my – listen, anybody in my situation – because at that point, we have kids. She's an unbelievable mother, right? Mm-hmm. She's locking – we just went through basically being pregnant. Anybody that has kids – close together and three of them knows exactly what, like when your wife is pregnant or feeding for 5 years in a row, that's her focus. And that's where I wanted her and she wanted to be. But it's a big difference saying, okay, we're going to go team up and do something. And now you can't focus 100% on what you're used to focusing on. Fucking hard. Like, so we had conversations and that's one of the best things about our relationship, I think, is that we can have really rigorous debate both ways. And I probably am more vocal a lot of the time. And I know when I overstep, which is one of the things I love. If I'm going to tell me. Like, and so it was a really good conversation back and forth. But I'm like so far off track right now.
No, it's
no. So I guess in a nutshell, I think we're similar in some ways in our competitive kind of outlook on things, and we're really different in some ways. I think when she comes on, right, she's going to be super humble and chill, and I'm going to be on here and just talk. Right? So that's kind of how it goes. But she's. And you'll see. She's amazing.
All right, perfect. So it's a good good segue. I mean, good place to stop. And we'll pick it right back up in a couple minutes. All right, cool.
Perfect.
Hey, everyone. It's a short break for a few quick PSAs. A, sign up for our newsletter. Why do you want to do that? A, you get a quick early heads up on our interviews and blog posts. But more importantly, You can score some free awesome gear from our partners, Wild Nation and Rogue Fitness. B, make sure to leave us feedback, either on iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube, wherever you're watching or listening. We can't improve if you don't give us feedback. C, if you can't wait till the next episode on Monday and you need that daily fix of Uncharted Performance, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Uncharted Performance and on Twitter at Reach Uncharted. And last but not least, if you want to score some free swag from Uncharted Performance, like this awesome tee that I'm wearing right now, if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, you probably can't see it, but it's Lift Today Like It Was Your Last, Marcus Aurelius, famous quote. Head over to our Patreon community and check us out there as well. Thank you guys for checking out this episode and enjoy the second half. See ya.
Cool.
All right. We are back with Dave hanging out at Track Athletics. Having a great time. Should probably tape the tape the intermission.
Yeah.
A lot of great information. We're going to couple more questions to about your relationship and your family. Because I think, personally, I think that plays a big part in what you're trying to do at Track.
Yeah,
and just sure. Your mission in life and as well what you're doing at Track as well. But first things first, how does it feel to be married?
You can't even say it with a straight face. I know it's coming right now.
Well, you talk about it too. So
it's amazing to be a married to an Olympian.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, right, see, perfect. I got you. Right,
let's skip that. All right. No, how does it feel to be married to an Olympian?
You know what? It's pretty cool.
Okay.
I guess there are perks that come along with mm-hmm. it, right? I think the way I think about it, I thought about this question actually. it's great to be married to somebody that is an Olympian in terms of what it takes to be an Olympian, uh-huh. right? The work ethic yeah. and the athleticism and kind of that mindset, mm-hmm. Which is clearly I'm not an Olympian. but I think having somebody around me that thinks like that, thinks like me,
thanks
a little
big.
Bit. Yeah, big time. And she's traveled everywhere. Like that's just interesting in itself. Yeah. It's cool. And I got to go to the Olympics. So
there you go.
Pretty much.
You went to the Olympics too.
Yeah. Yeah. So like technically we're kind of both like have been to the Olympics.
Oh, so there
that's
you go.
How I look at it.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Who's a better coach?
I think there's a lot of pieces to coaching. Totally going politician on this. I think we're both. I think we're both great coaches. To be honest, uh-huh. I think we each connect a little bit differently with different types of people.
Okay. What have you learned from her?
Patience.
Okay.
For sure.
What do you think she's learned from you? If anything.
Maybe nothing. I don't know. I think I get into the technical side of things a little bit more, mm-hmm. And she's really good connecting. I mean, I think I do an okay job, but she connects with people really well. And for me, that's the most important thing, right? That's the difference between somebody that can train, on the internet on Beachbody, right? Can sit in front of a DVD, or do you have an actual connection? Mm-hmm. She connects. And obviously women that are training and coming. I mean, she's had three kids and trained, and she qualified for regionals and CrossFit while she had a 3-month-old. How old was Grace? 5 months. She's like literally breastfeeding a baby and competing in between feedings to go to regionals and then qualified. So
good segue to the next question.
It's crazy. What's it like to breast? I don't know.
No. You're just taking the questions right from me, man.
I know. I had too much coffee.
What have you learned from your kids?
I'll tell you what. I posted something this morning, the first thing I thought of. My daughter, so I'm working on, I told you I couldn't get anything right this morning on the computer, the technical difficulties. Yeah. And my daughter, the piano's in the same room and she takes piano lessons. But she'll just walk into the room. She's working on. I'm not a music guy. I'm not a musical guy like music. But she's playing the piano and she is just working her ass off to get this little piece of a big piece right. And she messes up, right? And she just, you can see a little cringe. And then she goes right back and she goes again, not getting it. She just goes and goes, and then she just leaves the room, right? 20 minutes later, she walks back in, jamming again, can't get it. She's just relentless, like reps on reps on reps, and just no regard for how she's doing. And it's an amazing thing to see somebody not care about results all the time. You know what I mean? And just put the work in. And it's that in itself this morning is just an amazing reminder for me, right? Like things aren't going to go our way all the time. Get your reps in.
Right. You know? So another perfect segue.
I know. I can see your outline.
So why open track?
I just honestly, I thought we had a lot to give.
So why give it?
Because someone gave it to me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I had this conversation yesterday, actually. The guy that I went to work for in Chicago taught me a ton. Mm-hmm. Like, you talk about people have mentors, and this guy was mine, right? He taught me about, you know, I learned from my parents growing up, but they released me to the world at a certain point. And if you don't pick up, you know, something to follow from there, but I felt like someone taught me kind of how to operate in the world, and that led into coaching, right? So I just feel like we've been lucky, Lauren and I, and some of the experiences we've had, the travels and the unfortunately, a lot of the bad things that have happened. We've had some tough times personally. So I just think anything we can do to help people see a bigger picture, the way we think about it, you know, right? If you walk into a closet and it's pitch black, you just have a little baby flashlight, right? You turn that thing on, you can't really see, right? You don't know how big the room is. Or you could be in this gym with the lights out, right? I want to give you a bigger flashlight so you can see the whole room. You know what I mean? There's a lot more out there, and I'm constantly realizing, thinking big and living big, right? People get stuck in the rut sometimes. They get comfortable. And so that's kind of, I mean, I guess at the root of it, you just backed me right into it. That's why. It's not to teach somebody how to back squat better. Like, you can learn that anywhere. We'll do a damn good job of it. An amazing job, I would say, you know. But once you figure out how to back squat, then what? You're going to learn, right? Everyone's going to figure this stuff out over time. What next? Why not push people?
Was there a catalyst that this mindset that you developed, or did you develop this mindset over time? Or was there something that kind of, because again, when you were growing up and then through college, and even when you were working, you were being athletic and then even became competitive in CrossFit. When did you just kind of evolve, or was there a catalyst? Hey, you know, this competitive thing isn't for me anymore. Maybe there's something bigger. But what was that, speaking of that flashlight, what turned that switch? Was there a specific moment that you can maybe pinpoint, or?
You know what? I think it was like I mentioned earlier, that last regionals that I was in and I got hurt. And I just, I thought about it for a little bit, and I thought about what I see with other people in heavy competition and around, you know, when you compete, I competed pretty hard. I had a job. I mean, it's different. Guys now are full-time, right? It's a different game, for sure. But I was doing two-a-days at one point. I had a job. I would get up before work, train, go to work, come home, train, and then hang with my kids. At one point, I got hurt and it was over. What am I doing? You know what I mean? What am I trying to do here? You know, I've spent a period of time so focused on the competition of exercise. And, you know, everyone has their outlet, but for me, it became more of, I didn't feel right about it. It didn't end well, and I didn't see it ending well for a lot of people, right? Because there's no real way in CrossFit competitions to, everybody says, I want to go into, this is where I get Toby on everybody, right? I want to go into the open. I want to do better than I did last year. What does that mean? You're not doing the same test. You're not going, you don't even know who's going to enter. It's like saying you're going to enter an obstacle course. You don't know who's going to be there, but you want a place in the top 10. Well, what if you walk in and the Akron U's track team shows up? They might. You know, you can't, there's no way to measure it. So people end really kind of sour about it. You know what? And that just kind of hit me. I'm like, God, there's so much more to do. Mm-hmm. You know, why not think about what we can do with the fitness? Like, the gym is awesome, But that rafting trip we took guys on last year, that was really awesome. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so I took that and just kind of looked at what I had done in my life and some of the places Lauren and I traveled and interesting things we saw and talked about. I'm like, dude, let's take it to the next level.
How do you develop that in the gym? And how do you impart that and communicate that to your athletes and members?
Is that
why people join track, or is it something that's developed in them through being at track?
I think it might be something that people are interested in, kind of curious about. Mm-hmm. When they look on the website maybe and see a boat full of guys in the white water, or they...
So that is actually through the gym and through track. That's organized through...
Yeah. So, and like, it's like Lauren, right? Her going back to the Worlds last year for softball. We really try and highlight the interesting things that people do. And we tell people out of the gate, it's going to be this is an experience, right? You're going to be around interesting, like-minded people, intelligent people. You're going to come in. There's as good a chance that you have a conversation about something you've never thought about before. You're going to have that conversation much sooner than we talk about how your Metcon was, or right. You know what I mean? Like, it's work your ass off, high five it up. And then what's going on in life? Did you see this interesting event that happened? What book did you read, right? We talk a lot about what people are reading. We start every day with a quote that we're actually, we get pretty deep on these things. And we'll have everybody around the board and ask them, we'll read the quote and ask them what they think of it. And it makes people really uncomfortable sometimes, but we love that, to be honest.
So what are some of those other examples of taking people out of their comfort, out of the comfort zone? There's one particular that I'm thinking about, but...
Well, let's go. Hit me with it.
In terms of your coaches and your athletes.
Right? Oh, yeah. So I would have forgot about that.
Yeah.
No, so with our coaches, right? First of all, we try and lead the way, right? Like, yes. So Lauren's, she gets this invite to go play in the Worlds this summer. She hasn't picked up a softball in 8 years. I mean, talk about outside the comfort. Like, literally, she, over there, lost the bronze medal game in Beijing. So, I mean, that's like end on a sour note, right?
Yeah.
Put the glove in the closet and have, babies, less than a year later. It's like, then to come back, that's outside the comfort zone. So, we try and lead from the front, right? So, we're doing stuff like that. And then, like, our man, James Huss, our head coach, stipend, figure it out, man. We're going to give you some dough and you have to go do something you've never done. You have to go somewhere you've never been, experience something that you've never seen. And we'll talk about it with you and we'll help you discover something that you want to do, but you have to go and you have to let everybody know about it. And so that's what he did. He hadn't been on a plane before. And he went out to the West Coast and did some hiking and went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
I went to Alcatraz. It was amazing. But stuff like that, like for our coaches to be able to do that, we're super proud of that. I'd lie if we weren't.
I think it's awesome because, again, you're not only, you're creating an opportunity for them. It's not like, hey, go on a trip. You mentioned you gave them a stipend, right? You're lowering the barrier to entry or the obstacle that person might have to get out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, we would look at it like no excuses.
yeah.
No, and like honestly, like I said earlier, like when I went to Chicago, right, I didn't know anybody. I sleep in the basement of the guy that started the company. He took me in. Like I want to do, that's what I'm talking about. Like I wouldn't be who I am without that experience. So I want to pass that on to James and take care of our team. Like we love our team to death here. And that's something that we always kind of envisioned, because I left a company where the guy, best friend forever, be my best friends. And so we want to create the same thing. It's important because that trickles down to the community. Like they see the love that we have for each other. And they see James doing these things and us doing it. And it's not necessarily an inspiration, I'm not trying to, act like that, but the more you're around people that are taking chances and doing things like this, thinking big and living big, the more likely you're going to be to do it, right?
Yeah. Follow the lead.
Yeah.
So like we mentioned to open the show, your father, husband, business owner. How do you juggle all these Because I'm assuming you also try to, you also try to get a workout in here and there, right?
Yeah, that actually is like the hardest of all of them.
How do you juggle the priorities? How do you set your priorities? What kind of advice can you give someone that sees themselves or, you know, evaluates their life and sees this as hectic or has multiple priorities and doesn't know what to do next? Yeah. Or
cut the fat.
Okay. Meaning?
Meaning get the things that aren't truly essential to your goals and to what you're trying to do. I mean, it's basic stuff for me. It sounds so lame, but TV, gone. Yeah. Like, I don't even know the last time I watched TV. You know, maybe I miss it. No. You know, like everyone's, oh, have you seen Breaking Bad? No, I never see one episode. You know, like go down the list. I know TV's on fire right now. Yeah. Every show is great, but gone. Like, don't watch it. I'm a huge Liverpool supporter. That's the only, I'll drop in on a Liverpool match once a week, maybe. That's it. Like, I'm one of the biggest sports fans ever, and it's just I don't have time. I'm not doing it.
How do you? So just to kind of pull that a little bit more, how do you define the fat?
Yeah, I guess anything that doesn't further where I'm going.
You got the weight going.
I didn't know if I was supposed to join it. Anything that doesn't get me, like, so we have goals, right, for track. We know where we want to be with track. We know what we want to provide for the community, how many people we want to help. If it's not putting me in a position to do that better, I'm not doing it. Okay. So that's kind of end of day.
If I come in through, if I'm a noob, like today, we come in through the door. Yeah. Obviously, the facility is immaculate. So again, kudos. I'm not trying to nice to you or anything.
But no, that's part of that's part of what we're trying to do. It's an experience.
Yeah, the exposed ducks are a very nice touch.
Thanks.
Should be on HGTV. Yeah. but if I'm walking through that door, what can I expect from a track class?
Already to the class?
Just the first day in. You know, I'm coming.
No, you're not even going to get to the class before you're going to know it's different, right? You're gonna be met at the door by somebody immediately. Okay. You know, we knew you were coming today, but that's typically how it goes. Uh-huh. You get a heads up, a handshake, and a hug. Mm-hmm. You know, how's your day going? You're going to get instant conversation. Probably going to have people introduce themselves to you, right? Other members. It's really like a clubhouse or like a family. Mm-hmm. Before you even start the workout, these are the things that are important to us, because the fitness is great, but if you don't have fun, like that's one of our things right now, is a little play on Trump. You know, we got to make fitness fun again.
Okay.
Like, I feel like it's lost its way with some of the competition and that stuff. So you got to enjoy it. Like, you need to laugh in this place. You know what I mean? We dick around a lot. We get our work in. Man, you should have fun. Our Instagram story is basically a coach hijacks it and then takes funny pictures of people training. So it's fun. Like, you will have fun in this place.
All right. Next question. You can't use fun though as the answer.
Damn it. Use it up.
Use it up, man. Sorry. if you had in one word, describe track athletics.
Say family. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Okay. It's a really, really tight community here. Just people that enjoy each other. You know,
one word to describe where you came from in Chicago to where you're at now. One word.
Evolution.
Evolution.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next for track? Athletics. How big are we going?
As many people as we can find a way to help, we're going to help them.
Okay.
That's the way. I don't know where that ends up. Mm-hmm. We definitely have specific goals that we want to get to. But I think if we stopped here, I would be disappointed.
Okay.
You know, I think we have a lot to give, and I think the people here have a lot to give. That's what we found at Windy City at our gym in Chicago. It's probably 10 to 15 coaches have left and started their own places. Like, an incredible amount of people owe a lot to my man Justin that started Windy City. And Lauren and I are absolutely in that boat. Like, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for what he did there, you know? And if we can have that impact, a bigger impact, like, that's what it's about.
And that impact might not necessarily be in the gym.
Oh, I hope it's not in the gym, honestly. No. Like, we tell people it doesn't sound right, but the gym is amazing, but we want people to get the hell out of the gym. You know what I mean? Yeah. Come here, do your work. That's where you
spend most of the time, right?
Outside the gym. Get out of these walls. It's fantastic here, and we make it look nice, and we have the duck work and whatever going on, and we play great music and whatever, but dude, take this as foundation, right? Like we say, the quality of your health is what determines the quality of your life. Your health, get it and use it, you know?
Yeah. Where can people find you? Where can people find Track Athletics? If they're visiting, where are you located? Like physically, and then where can they find you on the internets?
The internets, that's a tough one. we're in Fairlawn here in Akron. All you Cleveland folk can hop off 77 and come see us.
Yeah.
But we're at Shiawassee Avenue, 96 Shiawassee.
Shiawassee. I mispronounced that on your voicemail, so just watch out.
I don't listen to your voicemail. Right, okay. it's okay. And then on the internet, trackathletics.com. But come see us. Our Facebook and our Instagram are the spots to be.
Yeah.
Our story, we get a lot of awesome feedback on our Instagram story. But that gives you a feel of what we're about. That's what we want people to see.
And we'll link all that up. So if you're on the website or on YouTube, make sure you check out the show notes below.
Yes, please.
Dave, it's been a pleasure. We got Lauren up next. Thank you very much, man.
Yeah, you can get me out of here now. The big money starts coming.
You're the warm-up opening act.
Sorry, it's my life.
Thank you, brother.
All right, thank you guys. Take you.
Care. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for checking out the video. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and also check out our Patreon community by following the links right below me. Also, make sure to check out the related videos to my left, your right. You'll probably dig those as well. Thank you again, and see you next time on Uncharted Performance. Take care.